Turn, please, if you will, to the book of Proverbs and chapter 29. The book of Proverbs and chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. That is the little text I wish to notice with you tonight. Read it once more, please. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There are two very precious words in this little text. And while I read a very, very solemn text, I'm very thankful for these two words. The word remedy and the word often. Often reproved and a great remedy. But there are four things that I would like to bring to the attention of this audience tonight. And I sincerely trust that the young folk who have gathered with us tonight will listen very, very carefully. This is a very solemn hour, a very crucial hour, and a very definite time of divine visitation in Woodland Drive. To those of you who have come this evening, and as yet you do not have the absolute assurance of your everlasting salvation, we want to say to you, friend, this is the chance of a lifetime. You may never have another opportunity like these meetings, and we may never have another opportunity to preach to you God's way of salvation. So our earnest desire is that you will be earnest and be honest with the Word of God. And should God touch your conscience and make you conscious of your spiritual need and the urgency of it, I trust that you will lend an ear to God. For while the Holy Spirit's moving, that is your opportunity to get saved. Always remember this, friend. If you ever intend to be in God's heaven for eternity, you'll have to come God's way and at God's time. When God touches your heart, that's the time to get saved. You may have a desire to be saved another time, but you may not be given the opportunity. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Now the four points that I would like to try and underline for you tonight from this text. Number one, first of all, I want to think of the saving patience of God, often reproving. Then I would like you to notice in our little text the subtle work of sin, hardening the sinner. And thirdly, I would like you to consider a sudden end, a sudden destruction. And finally, I would like you to consider the saddest lament without a remedy. That's what makes the destruction so solemn, without a remedy. When we turn to the Epistle of Peter, the second Epistle of Peter in chapter 3, we find the beloved Apostle Peter and he's all stirred up. He's looking onward and he's seeking to lift the eye of the believer onward to the day of glory. And he's stirred in his soul as he thinks of the great day of God and the glory of the creation without sin, the everlasting day for mankind who has come to know the saving grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he looks onward to that day, he reminds the believers who are feeling the rejection of the world. The world does not love the gospel. The world has no love for God's truth. For God's truth, like a searchlight, it beams into the darkness and it uncovers all the vileness that's at the root of man's nature and of his ways. And men prefer the darkness and the shadows where they may be at comfort in the pursuit of the desires of their heart, not knowing that the end shall be everlasting night in the abandonment of the second death without mercy forever. And Peter, as he looks onward to the day of glory, and as he reminds the believers of the sorrow of the day in which they're living and the rejection of the world, he says, concerning God's great kindness and his patience with sinners, he reminds us that God's patience is salvation. God is waiting. What is God waiting for? For man to get better? No, man will never get better. God is waiting for men to respond to his reproofs. Respond to the touch of his hand in their lives. Respond to the message of the gospel. God is waiting. He wants to fill heaven with as many of the sons of Adam's race as will respond to the message of his grace. He would gladly embrace you tonight as he has embraced me, a poor, unworthy sinner on my way to hell righteously. God in grace was willing to take me as I was. He made all the changes. He cleansed me from the vileness of my sin. He gave me everlasting life, and he'll do the same for you. Oh, the saving patience of God. Often reproving. There was an occasion when the Lord Jesus, in his ministry when he was here upon earth, he was looking down over the city of Jerusalem. He had moved amongst its streets. He had preached to the people. He had healed blind and lame and sick and raised the dead right within the walls of that ancient city, Jerusalem. He had done miraculous things, and the people wondered after him, but now he's weeping. And as he looks upon that city, tears stain the holy cheeks of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to them, Oh, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. But ye would not. They wouldn't come when they were called. Oh, how often he would have gathered. Now that is the little thought that I would like to point out to you in the opening of this very sobering text from God's Word tonight. Often reproved. First of all, I would like you to think of the invitations of the Lord, the often occasions that he invites sinners. There are those in our little audience in this hall tonight, and before these meetings ever began in Woodland Drive 5 weeks ago, God touched your heart. There are times in your experience in the past, when you were younger, some of you, sitting in a Sunday school class, I doubt not, and there's many Sunday school scholars here tonight, and I wonder how many of these young men and women to my right and to my left in this audience tonight have sat in a class with an earnest Sunday school teacher as she opened up the Bible to you and pointed out your sin and your need of forgiveness and cleansing and taught you the ways of God, and you saw the tear come to her eye and you saw it trickle down her cheek. And you wonder at the earnestness of that Sunday school teacher as she sought to tell you of the invitation of the gospel that you might be saved. And it touched your heart, but you brushed it off. Boys, you know, they think, well, they have to be masculine. They've got to be tough. They're not going to allow these things to bother them. And the girls, you know, they think too, well, mind you, that would be an awful weakness if I began to think about my sins and if I allowed a tear to come down my cheek and they choke it back. God touched their heart. But they hardened their heart. They drew back. Oh, how kind God is. He comes again. Maybe it was the next series of meetings that came along, or perhaps it was by when that accident took place. And you want to stand beside that hospital bed of that friend. And standing there, the thought came into your soul as swift as an arrow, as if it came right from heaven's throne. And God spoke to your heart. If you were on that bed and you were dying, where would your soul be? Often reproved. Often. Oh, the patience of God. My friend, I want to tell you tonight, the God of the gospel is a great God. He's not the God that the devil would like you to think he is. The devil would like you to think that God is going around with a big stick, you know. And he's looking for all the people he can poke on the head and send them down to hell. I want to tell you, my friend, the God of the Bible tonight is a God whose heart is big enough to take the whole world in if they would only come. The problem with men not being saved is not God's willingness, it's man's hardness. Man is a sinner, and he rebels against the love of God that gave the holy person of the Lord Jesus out of heaven to go to Calvary's cruel tree and willingly shed his blood. God often reproves. He often calls. He often seeks to win and to woo the hearts of men. He's kind to mankind, and he reproves mankind. He puts hindrances in the way of mankind from going down to hell. God actually makes it hard for people to go to hell. What a loving God he is. He's making it hard for you, young man, to keep going the way that you're going. He's making it hard for you to kick against the pricks. He wants you to be saved, and he'll put out obstacles in your way. Disappointments come into people's lives. Sicknesses come into people's lives, and they're brought face to face with death in their life. And what is God doing? He's trying to stop the sinner from going to hell because he loves them. Oh, what a great God, the God of my text. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The often reproving of God. Oh, sinner tonight, if I could only convey to you the loving patience and the saving grace of God. That's why he's touching your heart. That's why he's brought you to these meetings. That's why, young man, young woman, that the believers gather in the basement of this hall a half an hour before and a half an hour after and on a Saturday morning for an hour and a half to get down on their knees and lift their hearts in prayer to the God of heaven and bring your name to the throne and plead and weep over your soul that you might get saved at this time. What is happening? God wants to save you. He's making it hard for you to go to hell. Oh, the often, often reproving of the mercy and the kindness of God. It reminds me of the story of Luke 13, when the Lord Jesus told the account of the fig tree that was so favorably planted in the vineyard. And the master of that vineyard came every year, and he would inspect the leaves on the tree, and he would shake the tree to look for a little evidence that there was going to be fruit on the tree. And he looked all the season long of the fruit season, but there was never any fruit came on that tree. Undoubtedly, he would say to the man, well, you know, something wrong with the thing. The gardener, maybe you better give it a little extra fertilizer or water, trim it up, and whatever you do, take care of it over the winter. Don't let the thing freeze. We've got to get fruit off of it. And the next year he came again. He'd keep his eye on that tree that he had planted so favorably right there in the vineyard. And he would look at its leaves again, and he would ponder over those branches. Where's the fruit? My, how like men and women and young people in this meeting tonight. God has been so kind to you, and he's brought you to meetings again. What's he looking for? He's looking for a response to his goodness. He's reproving you again. He's trying to speak to you again. But finally the master of that vineyard, when he came that third year and looked over that tree and there wasn't so much as one bud or one solitary fig on any branch on that tree, there was absolutely nothing. For all the expense and all the work that had gone into it, all the favor that was shown to it, there was not even so much as one thing. He said, cut it down. Cut it down. Wasting the ground. Taking all the good out of the ground and using it for nothing. Just like you. God so kindly has blessed you with a home that loves you and favors you. With a Bible in your hand. A Sunday school teacher that prays over you and longs for your salvation. And God brings you to the gospel meetings and He gives you an opportunity to get saved. He saves others around you. And there's absolutely nothing in your life for God. You've wasted everything that God has given to you. You've got nothing to show for it. Nothing. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, the saving patience of God, I appeal to you, friend, as I leave this point, whatever you do, young man, don't trifle this time with the patience of God. For he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The subtle work of sin, hardening his neck. Felix comes to our mind, doesn't it, when we think of an example from the Scriptures? Felix was a man who heard the great Apostle Paul preach. Why, I would love to have heard that man preach the gospel. I want to tell you, friend, he could preach it. My, how with all his heart he poured into the gospel message the clarity of the note, and he made it so simple and so abundantly clear to sinners what they were, where they will be for eternity, and the only remedy through the finished work of the Savior in his death upon Calvary's awful tree. And he would pour in the message of the simplicity of the way of salvation. And Felix heard him, and one day, as the apostle stood there before him in bonds, and he preached with all his heart, he preached to that man of righteousness and of temperance and judgment to come. And Paul preached so much with the effectiveness of the Spirit of God that that man sat behind that bench and literally trembled. His body shook. As it got a hold of his soul, that eternity was real and judgment was coming. He said to Paul, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And he let send him away, back to his cell again. But what Felix didn't figure on was this, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. My friend, I want to say to you tonight, learn from Felix. He made a fatal mistake. He thought God would come on his time instead of realizing, Felix, you come at God's time. I turned to another man in the Bible by the name of Pharaoh. 9 times God spoke to that man. 9 times. And he hardened his neck. Oh, the subtle work of sin. Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us that men are hardened through the subtlety of sin. Unbelief. Every time that you have heard the gospel, my friend, and got off that chair of yours and went out that door without stopping to get the matter settled and to get right with God, to get to know Christ as your Savior, every time, young man, that you moved away, when God touched you, you became harder. You became harder. And you became harder. Oh, the effects of the scar of the wound. And as time goes on, even the tissue becomes senseless.
The nerves are rendered senseless. The scar tissue becomes harder and harder. For the first little while it is sensitive, and you can't touch it, and you must keep the bandage upon it. And you remember well when God spoke to you at the beginning, and you were tender. But you're not tender now, and you may look into the eye of the preacher and smile, as if all his preaching has been wasted. God will not bring me to account for his word. Nothing will happen. There'll be another occasion. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, the subtlety of sin. May I say to you kindly, friend, tonight, every day that you linger in your sin, you get harder, and you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. Sin is working in your heart and in your mind. And every day that you live without Christ, you are getting harder. Harder to reach. The older a man gets, the harder it is for him to get saved. The longer that a child lives without Christ, the harder it is for them to get saved. That's the subtlety of the work of sin. My friend, we have no conception of the power of sin. We have no realization of the awful subtlety with which sin works in the mind and the hearts of sinners. It hardens them against God and against the Word. The Word just seems to bounce off them like water off a duck. And when it used to touch them, it touches them no more. And something that used to make them weep over their sin makes them weep no more. And the scenes of Calvary that melt the heart of a Christian never bring a tear to your eye. Hardened, oh, harder than a stone, harder than the platform under our feet tonight. That's why young men and women rise from their chair and go out at night, and they're darkened on the way to the pit. And well might the Christians pray with all their might and with all their soul that God would somehow penetrate that hardness and wound them again in his mercy, because they've become hard. Oh, the subtlety of sin. My dear young man, you may not think that you have done much that is wrong in your life, but I want to tell you one thing tonight. You're a hardened sinner, for you've never been saved when God has spoken to you. How solemn. Sin has taken its toll in your very breast, and you're hard tonight, hardened against the gospel. How solemn. People talk about being gospel hardened. Men are never gospel hardened. They're sin hardened. Sin hardened. The gospel's never hardened a man yet. The gospel softens, and the gospel breaks, and the gospel gives joy. The gospel's never hardened a man yet. Thank God for the gospel. It hardens, it breaks the hardest hearts. And my friend, with all our soul tonight, we trust that you will recognize the subtlety of sin hardening your neck. May I mention the last two points to you briefly? Suddenly destroyed. A sudden end. My mind goes back to Saul, king of Israel, when I think of this. Dear Saul, he started out well, didn't he, the dear man? And he made a kinship with Samuel, God's prophet. But it wasn't very long until Saul could listen to Samuel, and he didn't believe half he said. And that proved to be his downfall. Oh, sinner, tonight, can we not appeal to you? Unless you put out a greater effort than you're doing tonight, you're not going to get saved. The devil will see to it that you're in hell, young man, young woman. The devil indeed will have the victory, because you are not facing the solemn fact. I am a hardened sinner. I need the mercy of God, or I will perish in my sin. Dear Saul, he trifled with the word of God. And that day when he went to battle, and he fell on the battlefield alongside of his son Jonathan, I'm sure that if had been written up in newspapers, Saul would have been proclaimed a hero. Saul died leading his troops. But when I turn over to the book of the Acts, I find what God has to say about his death. Listen what God says, friend. God removed him makes me weep tonight. I cannot say those words without an arrow piercing my soul. God removed them. There are young men and young women here tonight. And I want to say to you kindly and solemnly, dear young friend, you trifle with the patience of God. And while loved ones may grieve over your silent form, and they won't know what to say, the divine record may have to read like Saul's, God removed them. Suddenly, dear sister, dear brother, don't cease praying for that son. Don't cease praying for that daughter. Cry to God mightily, lest they be removed. As I sit down, I want you to notice the saddest lament of all is they had no remedy. Without a remedy, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without a remedy. I once read the story of a dear lady in a ship fire. And when the sailors came to awaken the passengers, for it was in the night, she just pulled the sheet over her little head again, went to sleep. After a while, the smoke seeped into that little cabin and awoke her. And with great alarm, she recognized it wasn't a dream. It was real. She made her way through the panic of that stricken ship to where there was a lifeboat, but the lifeboat had departed. It was gone over the side, filled with people, and was pushing away. There was a sailor standing near, and she looked at him and raised her hands, and she said, "It was almost saved, but now I'm lost forever." No remedy. The lifeboat was gone. She might have been saved, but she didn't believe it was real. And I fear there are those in this meeting tonight that don't believe the preaching's real. I would give everything I had, friend, if I could see you believe God's message and recognize it's real. Hell is real. Judgment is real. Christ is real. And a sudden end has been the portion of many, and it's real. Oh, young man, before God tonight, young woman, be real in this meeting. You'll be like that woman when it's too late. You'll recognize it was real. I waited too long, and now there's no remedy. All the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from sin of no avail for you, and the wounds of the Savior that have answered for our vileness and sin of absolutely no value to you then, and the death of Christ, which has opened the door of heaven for sinners, will be of no value to you. No remedy. No remedy. Oh, what an end. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, dear sinner, in the latter part of this meeting tonight, we appeal to you to listen with this consciousness. I need God's salvation tonight. I am in danger of perishing forever. Do take my little text to heart. Think of the occasions that God has spoken to you. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy.